We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, Les. Yesterday, you gave us what Notre Dame and Marcus Freeman were going to look like in year two of his regime. I want you to think about it and tell me what's going to look different in year two of Al Golden's regime as a defensive coordinator.
I think in year two, you'll see a lot of cleanup work, more detailed on things like coverage. I think you'll see more detailed work with the confidence in them going more man, but also just cleaning up the work, especially from the veteran players on tackling in space. I think our tackling should be the thing we should notice. It should be a thing that I know Al Golden has taken down as a note on things to work on, but tackling in open space should be the obvious thing that we have improved on, because one, we have more athleticism and a youth energy that if we're in the wrong place, we're going to still blow something up because we got a lot of athletes and explosive power. And I think he's going to trust a lot more of the blitzes to hit home when he's seeing guys that are young like Jalen Snead getting his head in there and mixing up some plays. So you're going to see communication. You're going to see tackling in open space increase. And you're going to see maybe a mix of different coverages. Now you have a secondary that can do a lot more. You can see a secondary that can play maybe a combo coverage where they play a zone on one side, man on one side. You have the confidence that you can single up guys and maybe try to take guys out of the game. I think Ben Morrison could be a threat to have his own island, and maybe Cam develop to have his own island. And then once you can go one-on-one, there's a lot more you can do with the defense. That's what Alabama's been really good at, making sure they can single up their other team's best receiver and then play and shrink the field with the other guys. So that's a key to having a dominant defense, and I think we have a key for that. So Al Golden knows the landscape of college football and what it looks like defensively, and that's an aggressive style, and I think our defense is going to pick up on it. And these young guys with the depth, it's going to make it hard to make us a team that's going to have a lot of weak points because we have so much depth.
Lucky Lefty Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify. Tap in CFB Nation in conjunction with Irish Breakdown. Great content. Leave your comments. Leave us 5 stars. We greatly appreciate it. It's because of ULL Nation. We continue to grow. We are the fastest growing Notre Dame podcast. It's the Lucky Lefty Podcast. We spin it different.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/BlueWire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Let's go to Al Golden, the defensive coordinator that met with the media earlier today left, and he talked about his expectations for the defensive line.
Obviously, Riley, Nana, Howard, Gabe, some real veterans in there. Vitello came on at the end of the year. He's carrying forward. Junior obviously played for us late in the year, which is awesome too. So Baptiste has been a really great addition, welcome addition. Love his attitude. And then we need some, that next generation of guys to really step up. Anya and Ford and Heinisch and those guys. So really, really excited about the way they're working on the field and off the field, meeting with Coach Extra and doing whatever they need to do.
Left, the sentiment's there. It seems that Al Golden has confidence in that defensive line. You point out that you have four guys coming back on that defensive line that took major snaps last year. He mentioned Howard Cross. He mentioned Riley Mills. He mentioned Nana. And then he talked about Jordan Vitello. You throw in Javonte Jean-Baptiste. And then you expect the rookies or the youngsters, Tyson Ford, Jason Onye, to step up. Donovan Heinisch, that's 7-8 guys in a rotation. And you don't forget, there will be a time after the spring where you might be able to bring in some new transfers, because that transfer portal is going to be hot again.
It's going to be hot after this
spring. After the spring practices. And I believe that's when they got Chris Smith as a defensive tackle who had a fantastic pro day. He's going to end up on a roster in the NFL. I thought he was going to go straight to his career. The athletic numbers that he put up, at 310 pounds and the way he played and the film he put on second half of the season, he's definitely going to make an NFL team. But I definitely see 7-8 deep defensive line with the freshman coming in that can be added into that. Jalen Snead can be part of that on third downs. Notre Dame has the numbers. They have the experience in the first 4 or 5 guys. Now the emergence of the youngsters will probably let us know how good that defensive line can ultimately be.
Absolutely. That's the thing that's going to be our key from the defensive line perspective, is that we have depth and experience with the depth. Our ones and twos and twos and a half have all have some type of experience, and they're all good players to the sense where that group collectively will have a better impact than what a singular great player as Isaiah Fauske did. We may not have the Isaiah Fauske X factor, but the D-line has an X factor from depth, from energy, from players being, above average D linemen. We may not have a Will Anderson, but we got a bunch of Aiden Hutchinsons around, the guys that can have a bunch of potential. So it's exciting for Al Washington where he can coach the group and not feel like he's got a Michael Strahan on his hands, or he feels like he has the Giants D-line in 2007 when they played Brady, where all of them were really solid. All of them were all pros. Clemson had an All-American D-line. Clemson had an All-American D-line. All of them were first-round potential. Do I think we have first-round potential in our D-line? Possibly. Possibly. Somebody could pop this year. They have the size. A Jordan Patello can get 10 sacks. That's pretty special. So it's going to take a unique effort, but I think the effort from the group and what Marcus Freeman is bringing as a philosophy is going to have our defensive line just fine.
Yeah. I'm going to talk about this. I see everyone chatting about the heavyweight matchup on Friday night between Iowa and South Carolina in the Final Four down in Dallas. I'll just say this. Iowa's not scoring 95 points. I don't know what college basketball y'all been watching. I've been watching Iowa in the Big Ten. Indiana spanked Iowa twice until they got to the Big Ten tournament. Iowa struggled against Ohio State as well. Like, hold on. South Carolina is a whole nother level than Indiana and Iowa State, Ohio State. And I'm not saying they're going to get blown out. That's not what I'm saying. All I'm saying
they
is
might. Everybody.
I don't think they're going to get blown out. I think it's going to be a good game. All I'm telling people is, if you have not watched South Carolina, they haven't played Iowa, right? LSU made the Final Four, right? LSU made the Final Four. LSU got decimated by South Carolina twice. It was never close. And then the Final Four. South Carolina has a whole nother level, dude. And people need to start giving them the same respect. See, this is what angers me. The same respect that people used to give Geno for what he was building in Connecticut, you better start giving Don Staley the same amount of respect. Because they're not just winning games. They're blowing people out. They're blowing them out in the process. And they did it last year in the tournament. They went through the tournament. They're doing the same thing this year. And first of all, baby Steph, Caitlin, she's going to have the game of her life from a scoring standpoint.
She's going to have to put up like six, like something like ungodly, like 68 points or something stupid. Who else is going to score?
She's going to have the game of her life. They have five legitimate players that can score at any time on the court. But guess what they also have? Porous defense.
Oh, yeah. Caitlin don't play no defense either.
So explain to me how they control South Carolina on the boards with 6'4", 6'4", and 6'7" in the paint. See, that's the problem. See, I keep telling me about Caitlin Clark, all the guards and all that. What about 6'4", 6'4", and 6'7"? Because everybody says, oh, this is how we're going to defend that, or this is how we're going to stop that. Nobody's done it. When you bring 6'7" off the bench, that's a problem.
Off the bench.
They get 30 points off the bench every game. They average 30 points off the bench in the tournament. So this is –
You can't look at numbers for this game.
Iowa can't get into foul trouble, right? Caitlin Clark can't have an off night. It's too many things. Iowa has to play the – quintessential perfect game. And they can. They can. South Carolina just has to be themselves. That's it.
Yeah, South Carolina doesn't have to do anything special.
They don't have to depend on one person to have a great game. If Z doesn't have it going, then you go inside. If the starters don't have it going, then you bring your three freshmen off the bench that put up 30 points a game off the bench. They have too many weapons, man. I don't think people really respect what Don Staley has built. I just really don't. But you'll get a chance to see it. Because it's going to be a cumulative effect. It's not going to be the fact that they're going to come out and just smash Iowa. It's going to be cumulative, man. That size over four quarters, you're going to get to a point, and when Iowa starts missing shots,
and South Carolina
gets out on the break, that's when they're going to make their run. When South Carolina makes their run, can Iowa counterpunch?
Because South Carolina can play offense too.
Thank you.
It's not like offense versus a great defense. This is an offense versus a great defense versus a great offense again.
Iowa has one big One, and if I'm not mistaken, she's 6'3". One big. They play four out, one post person. Right? And she is known for getting in foul trouble. She's been in foul trouble, I think, three of the games in the tournament. She can't afford to get in foul trouble in this game. If she gets in foul trouble, it's a problem. It's a problem.
Hard to avoid.
It's a problem.
It's going to be hard to avoid.
And I can tell you this. If they beat Iowa, it's a wrap. Because I don't care. Because first of all, they beat LSU twice by like 20. So if LSU gets to the championship, we might as well just let the confetti drop at the tip. Just let the confetti drop. Like, it's over, man. The Iowa game is going to be the tough matchup. Because it's definitely going to be a chess match between coaches. Don is going to have to coach her tail off this game. Right? Because Maryland had the offensive game plan to really attack South Carolina because Maryland pushed the ball. Right? Because they said we can't let them set up the half court defense because if we do that, we're not scoring with their size. They lead in shot blocks. They lead in rebounding, and they defend their tails off on the wing. So we can't score against that. So Miller and, man, their guards would get it. They would push. Miller would go one-on-one with the bigs, score early in the shot clock. They were able to get out early in the first quarter. That second quarter came, they started slowing down a little bit.
Yeah, you got to play quarter, perfect. Yeah,
that third quarter came, that six-point lead went to 15. Maryland pulled it back to about 9-8, and then South Carolina hit the gas one more time in the fourth quarter. They just wear on you, dude, with that talent and size. Can Iowa withstand? It's one thing to see it, but it's one thing to go up against it.
I got you.
So if Iowa can counterpunch and stay in it for four quarters and keep it close for Caitlin Clark, of course they have an opportunity. It's a tough task. I'm telling you, it's a tough task.
Yeah. It's going to be tough. But, you know, the good thing about this is a win-win. You know, great to see a legacy continue by Don Staley in South Carolina. But also it would be great to see a David versus Goliath with Caitlin being the superwoman that she is. I mean, she had 41 last week. She's going to have at least 60 points to even keep it close.
Yeah.
And it's got to be 30 in the first half. Like, she got to start hot and finish hot. But no one's greater right now than Arike, who back-to-back championship shots. I mean, come on. Like, that's storybook.
Yeah, absolutely. So, we'll see. Like, I saw people in the chat talking about guards win in March. Iowa has won. Don Staley has two freshman guards coming off the bench that contribute 30 points off. Dude, y'all keep talking about South Carolina has everything. They can distribute everything amongst the team, 8-9 deep. Damn. Caitlin Clark has to carry the day or else Iowa is dead. That's it.
Yeah.
Can she do it? Absolutely. But we're not about to sit up here and talk about South Carolina like they don't have guards.
Because Caitlin can honestly have 40 and they still lose by 20 points.
Heck yeah.
And that's just because South Carolina is like that.
Don Staley said it best when she met with the media yesterday. She said, we're going to take something away. That's what she said. She said, yo.
With something.
She said, you can have 40, but you're not going to have 10 assists.
No.
She said, you can have 10 assists, but you're not going to have 40.
But you're not going to have 40.
We're going to take something away.
She on her Bill Belichick in 2008.
It is what it is.
We take away your best thing or whatever. You can have something, but she ain't going to have everything.
Speaking of taking something away, Notre Dame lost some talent to the NFL in the NFL draft. Al Golden talked about replacing that talent.
Of effort. Coach Wash has been, you know, working like crazy around the clock, whether it's getting them tips or making cut-ups for them. So they can do a lot virtually. You know, if they're in between classes, they can look at their iPad and know, see the notes and know what they need to do the next time they get together. So and their effort on the field has been good. So we've been rolling guys through there. You know, we've been changing the depth a lot, rolling guys through there. We're not settling into anything at any position right now. And Wash has done an awesome job with them.
So shout out to Coach Washington getting some love from Al Golden on the job he's doing with developing these guys. I said it when Gabriel Rubio got better in the second half. You know, I gave a check to Al Washington for that. Like, okay, I saw someone literally get better throughout the season on the defensive line. We hope that Jason Anya and Tyson Ford follow suit. And heck, we hope that guys like Riley Mills hasn't kind of like just plateaued and he can take another step. Howard Cross, he takes another step. And ultimately, the defensive line in totality become a pretty, I don't want to say dominant group, but a pretty productive group, a solid group week to week. Because as I said before, I'm sitting there at the pro day and I'm saying to myself from a talent standpoint, Notre Dame's not losing a lot. They're losing Isaiah Foskey. But from a talent standpoint, nah. There has to be more athletic talent on this roster than they lost.
Yeah, we're definitely full of talent. I think that's not questioned. We're just seeing who is going to be the X factor of the talent. Now, you got guys like Coach Elston. Coach Elston has a nice track list of a lot of elite D linemen that were very productive at Notre Dame. Can you think of five off the top of your head? I'm sure, but those five that you think aren't number one Will Andersons. So I think that Al Washington is in a similar situation. You're going to have a lot of talented D linemen, a lot that will go to the league.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But you get guys like Khalid Kareem, that's a great player, but it's not a Will Anderson. It's not a Nolan Smith. Right. But Khalid Kareem's a third round pick. So that's what makes us a top five program. We'll give you a bunch of Khalids and Dalens and Romeos and you can win games.
Right.
But are we giving you a Jalen Carter, a Trayvon Walker, you know, a first round, you know, D tackle. Maybe every once in blue moon.
Right.
But those are the difference between us and the four programs that have been above us. They've had first round pick D linemen.
Yeah.
Consecutive years. Ohio State had it. Bama does it every year. Georgia does it every year. Clemson did it for a stretch. So if you got first round top 10 pick D linemen, you got a chance and a recipe that you're going to win the championship. We have third, fourth round. You know, we're going to get guys, you know, Sheldon.
Mm-hmm.
Our first round guy was Jerry, but that was our first and only first round guy.
Right.
And maybe Tuitt, but Tuitt just retired, 2 years ago? So. It was second round.
Dude, first of all, Michael Parks is talking, is chirping in the chat, trying to bring up when we love Georgia and they lost to Alabama. Trying to compare that to South. Let me tell you something. Hey, man, y'all can love Caitlin Clark all y'all want to. I watched the Big Ten bang on Iowa. I watched Ohio State bang Iowa in the regular season, and I watched Indiana smack Iowa in the regular season. So if y'all want to compare Iowa to South Carolina, y'all go right ahead. Y'all fall in love with, you know, Sports Center, highlights. You know what I'm saying? South Carolina is just running the table on everybody, right? They running the table on everybody. What leads Sports Center? Caitlin Clark. Okay, let her lead Sports Center.
Okay.
South Carolina just do their thing.
They just do their thing.
Yeah, crazy stuff. Don't compare freshman guards. See, that's the problem. I'm not comparing freshman guards. I'm just saying that Don Staley has a bench. Iowa doesn't. Go check the stats. They don't. They don't. Don't get mad at me. They don't. It is almost impossible because one person has to beat a team. You have one great player that has to beat a great team.
And she's not LeBron.
So if you want to act like Alabama, if you want to, like Bryce Young walked up into the matchup against Georgia without two top wide receivers. And what happened when both of those wide receivers weren't there? Georgia smacked Alabama.
Yeah.
So if you want to compare games, this Iowa-South Carolina game is going to look more like the championship game when Georgia smacked Alabama. Because she's a one-person show. That's it. So I'm going to tell you, I was trying to be nice. Okay. I'm trying to be nice. Don Staley's not about to double team Caitlin Clark. They're going to do it in spots. They're going to switch defenders on her. They're going to put about two or three people on her. They're going to let Caitlin Clark do her thing.
Do her thing.
But the mother players, they're going to be on lock. Because they've never seen defense like this in the Big Ten. I guarantee it. They're going to be on lock. So unless Caitlin Clark – and don't let Caitlin Clark get in foul trouble. Oh, it's really over.
It's over here.
Because you do know Caitlin Clark has the guard on the other end.
She can't float on this team.
Wait a minute, because she plays the three.
She can't float on this team.
People forget this. She plays the three. Yeah. South Carolina plays high-low. And the person she's playing against is a big 6'4 person. So have fun. Have fun. Like I said, people don't watch. I watch women's basketball, bro. I know what I'm talking about. Caitlin Clark is a bad son of a gun.
Is she better than us?
If I'm the GM of the Chicago Sky, I'm trying to figure out a way to draft Caitlin Clark this year. It's not even a debate. That's who I want in the WNBA draft. If I'm the GM of the Chicago Sky, I want Caitlin Clark next week.
Is she more of a number one than Victor Wembanyama for the NBA?
Oh, Caitlin Clark is.
Victor Wembanyama is the number one guy.
I think Caitlin Clark, I would put her a little bit behind Sabrina Ionescu only because of the injury history. If she stays healthy, Caitlin Clark is a WNBA MVP.
Oh.
Waiting to happen. That's how much respect I have for her.
Wow.
In her game. But come on, man. She has to create shots for everybody else.
Yeah.
That's the problem. So you stay home and you let Caitlin Clark do her thing.
Yeah, she'll have 75 points because nobody else on the team is going. She would have to have two other players have 20, and she would have to have like 50 or something. Something crazy.
You know, they're going to try to bring the bigs out. They'll bring Aaliyah Boston out. They'll bring the other bigs out. That's fine.
That's people the been thing. The game plan against South Carolina is everybody's game plan. It's not like you're going in there with nothing like different because you can't. It's like the recipe is the recipe. You just don't have the players to do it.
See, now people are begging. This is football. Individuals can win football games, basketball games. Really? When's the last time LeBron won without help? When's the last time Michael Jordan won without help? Please tell me. Since individuals win championships in basketball, tell me.
LeBron didn't start winning until he went to Miami, so.
Man, look, y'all obviously don't watch basketball close enough, dude. Y'all, Caitlin Clark.
You say they don't watch it close enough?
No, Caitlin Clark is not. If they win, it's not going to be because of Caitlin Clark. It's going to be because of two or three other people that chipped in and had great games. Yeah. Absolutely. And even I know that. Like I said, I would take Caitlin Clark with the number one pick in the WNBA draft next week. Like, it's a wrap. Bring her to Chicago right now.
Yeah.
She's an MVP waiting to happen.
The problem
all,
is the,
all
the,
I want all I want people is to
the
understand
whole first round is gonna
all
be
I want people to understand is that as easy as you watched her put up that 40-point triple-double, understand it's not going to be that easy. It's not about to be that easy. But I do love the way she put that Louisville player in her place. I love that. She got extra points for me on that.
Yeah, that Louisville player is like a wannabe her, though. That's why.
See, like Roger Blackman said, Danny Manning, hey, sir, you need to go check the stats and see what Scooter Berry did that game. Somebody that averaged 1 point a game. Go look at his stats for that game. Mm. See, people do. I ain't that dude, not basketball. Mm. You're not winning a championship just with one person. You're going to need some people to play above and beyond. When Georgetown lost to Villanova, Ed Pinckney had the game of his life. Dwayne McClain had the game of his life. You're not winning a game like that unless people play above themselves, and it takes more than one person.
That's what Marcus Freeman is hoping for.
That's it. So it's going to take at least two players on Iowa's roster to have great nights.
At least.
At least. That's the only way it's happening. But I'll be back Monday. You can believe that. I'll be back on Monday. We can talk about it. Jordan Botello, Al Golden. What's up?
He's bigger and stronger. You know, he's had a good offseason. Again, the biggest thing with Jordan is just, you know, just do your job. Don't make it more than it is. Play with poise, play with discipline, stay within the structure and execute. That's, he has enough talent that if he does that, he'll make a lot of plays for us.
Man, you know what? I feel like we've been hearing about Jordan Botello was coming for like five seasons left. He's one of those dudes that it feels like he's been in Notre Dame longer than he has.
He got that Alizé Mack type of track. He's like, man, you're supposed to be popping, and then you hear it here and everywhere. I see you. I don't see you. I don't know where you at.
Right.
You just show up on Saturdays sometimes, man.
Man, look, let me tell you something. If he doesn't pop this year, I don't know if he'll ever pop at Notre Dame. But he definitely should pop. He definitely should pop.
If he does all the right things, the staff believes he can be a 9 to 10 sacks type of guy.
Yeah, Garrett Newsom, that's a good call. Like, Ronnie Mills should definitely pop this year as well. Or else he's just kind of plateaued and even if he's plateaued and he is Riley Mills, that's productive. That's productive play on the NT.
Yeah, Riley Mills, he's a good player. He's not a great superstar. He's a good player. So a good player gives you, what, five sacks maybe?
Yeah. Ooh, Lilo Galante, that's a good question. I would say yes right now, though. Is Caitlin Clark better than Maggie Secrets? Yeah, I would say yes right now. Heck, but then you got my girl coming back next year at Connecticut. That's coming off that injury. She's going to be dope in the WNBA as well. But Jordan Botello, bro, might be the 10 sacks waiting to happen that we need.
Yeah, because the group is going to give you another 10 throughout the season.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
If he can get 10 solo, I promise you we'll have around 25, 30 sacks on the season.
Yeah.
And that's pretty good, because we had, what, 30 last – well, 35 last year?
As a team?
As a team, yeah.
I think it was a surprising stat, something like that. I'll have to check that out. Let's see. Find it real quick right here, left. For those of you that want me stats, teamrankings.com. Teamrankings.com gives you really good stats. Left. Let's see. Yeah, you're right, left. Good call.
Where was I at? Where was I at with it?
You're right on.
35 sacks last year.
Okay. I was surprised. Turnovers, you know, that's a great point, Michael. Turnovers are more important. Sacks are one thing, but I would take an increase in turnovers over sacks. Not that I want sacks to just go away, but if you're telling me we can increase to getting an average in two turnovers per game with this offense, that, yeah.
If we get two turnovers game, I think we should convert that into an offense that should be around 35-plus points a game. Because we should.
That's too low. That's too low. No, we're not doing that this year, remember? We're not lowballing for this offense. 30, that's lowball. 35, 38. Minimum, we're starting at 38.
Right. That's right. That's right.
Minimum.
Yeah.
Minimum, 38. You talking about getting two turnovers per game?
Yeah.
That's minimum 10 points a game off turnovers. If you get two turnovers per game with this offense, from what we expect, I think it's safe to say that you could get 10 points per game off turnovers. That should put you at about 38 points per game. I don't think that'll be difficult.
Yeah, I think, you know, with Sam looking like he's lighting it up in spring practice, giving him the ball enough times closer to the end zone, which we've had opportunities for. We had it seven times in the red zone against Ohio State and came up with nothing. So to give an experienced guy seven opportunities in the red zone against a top five team, we're looking to cash.
You mean seven times on the Ohio State side of the field? Seven times in their territory. I think it was four times in the red zone, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we're cashing. We have to.
Yeah. Yeah. So 38. 35 is low ball in this offense.
35 Tyler, 38 with Sam. Because I don't think Tyler is passing at a level to where I would say 38 points. Unless our defense is just, like we said, we get three turnovers a game or something crazy like that.
But this is the crazy thing. The names change and the coaches change. The defensive coordinators change. But the Notre Dame defense over the last 7 years has pretty much given up the same amount of points. The Notre Dame defense, names change. You lose people to the NFL. You lose great players. You lose Kyle Hamilton in the secondary. You don't know what the secondary is going to be like. Benjamin Morrison ends up popping. Like, Notre Dame always ends up finding a way to hold teams below their scoring average every time they face someone. USC was the only team, I think, that equaled their scoring average last year. So defensively, Notre Dame finds a way to be serviceable or even more than serviceable from a defensive standpoint.
That's right.
Now you get the bump offensively and you start going up to 38 points per game. That takes pressure off of the Notre Dame defense. You know the amount of pressure that was on the Notre Dame defense last year? I'm talking about going into the game, in the locker room, getting taped up. The Notre Dame defense knew, look, man, we cannot let these teams score 20 points.
That's right. We're going to be in trouble.
That's crazy in college football. That's not a good feeling if your defense is in the locker room saying, look, we cannot allow 20 points. In today's college football?
2012. What were they? We can't give up 10.
Right. That was the mindset in 2012. Like, 10 points is it, right?
Give up more here than we are. In big trouble.
Yeah, here we are in 2023.
We give up 25, it's over. We might lose.
Right. But now
– team score more than two touchdowns first half because then we really, really in trouble.
The Notre Dame defense has to feel like, yo, if we give up 24 points this year, we're good. We winning by two touchdowns.
The team got to score at least 32 to beat us.
That's the way you have to feel right now. That's the way you have to feel right now. So, I like it. Uh-oh. We got our third co-host in the building. I'm going to call him. I'm gonna call him. That's the millionaire NIL right there. That's the millionaire NIL.
That's the millionaire NIL right here.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm trying to get on his work on his editing and producing in the background. You know, he got to work on his lighting, stage presence and stuff.
You talked about Al Golden's second year and what it might look like. He talked about it as well with the media. Here's what he had to say, Lev.
This offseason was to look at the opponents first and then plan, then chart the course. Last year, you know, I probably had, I don't know, it was probably two working weeks, you know, with a spring break, so three total from the time I landed here to spring football. So it was really challenging. So for me, I learned a lot just by quality control myself. What defenses we need, what didn't we call that maybe we practiced? What do we need more of? What showed up in the game plans consistently throughout the year? So obviously I watched some of the opponents ahead of time. So. Have a real good grasp of what we need, what we don't need, and just trying to keep it as tight as we can from a package standpoint.
You know what? What he said at the end is the best thing. I found out what we need, and I found out what we don't need. And as long as he found out that blitz from the safety 20 yards away is something we don't need, I'm all for it.
He can throw it out.
Throw it out. We it's don't need it.
It said the way you fix the problem is identifying it. It seems like we've gotten that. I think we could have told him that week one and could have got a lot farther, a lot faster.
Man. But explain that, Lef. He's pointed out, you know, last year, short time, I really didn't get a chance to come in, but I had more time in the offseason to really, really dig deep into our opponents. And prepare for our opponents week to week.
Yeah, I think once, especially a defensive coordinator coming from the NFL, you're game planning based on your the amount of or volume of film you have on the other team. Your first year doing it, playing a schedule is kind of up in the air. You're not getting a real read on teams because you're looking at how they're playing other teams. You want to get to see what your team looks like playing against your formations and the stuff that you're doing. You know, NFL, you playing those guys twice a year. You're seeing the same kind of players every year. So it's a lot harder and a lot easier to game plan because you know tendencies a lot more. When you're playing a college football schedule, man, you especially if you're not playing the same teams like Notre Dame is every year, you're way more on the fly. You have to rely a lot more on coaching,
on
a player's perspective. But, you know, when you're in the NFL, you got a stack of library on teams and defensive coordinators and offensive coordinators and what teams like to do and players that have been there for 10-plus years. So this is more of a run and shoot when you're preparing for a college football game, especially as an independent. Now, if we was in the ACC, I'm sure Dabo Swinney has tons of North Carolina film to look at, even if Drake May is there.
Right.
I don't care if Drake May's there. I got North Carolina library.
Just library, yeah.
I can cook. You know, I can get prepared, you know. But with Al Golden, he's like, man, at least I got 2 years of looking at SC. I have a better chance.
Yeah.
And for a guy like that, just looking for another year to stack information, I think that's going to make it better for him calling plays next year.
And as Notre Dame continues to expand the analyst staff, more information, the better information you can get to your coaches, the better things can flow and the better they can prepare for the opponents. So shout out to Notre Dame investing in that and adding to the analysts on the Notre Dame staff. Lef, we leave with great news. We've been talking women's basketball. Some great news possibly. And this tweet comes from my guy, LaVon Whitaker, who, by the way, is going to join us on Friday, right? We thought it was originally Thursday. We thought that Michael Shrewsbury's press conference would be today. That's originally what we were told. It has moved to Thursday at 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern. His introductory press conference will be tomorrow. But this coming from LaVon Whitaker on Twitter, Washington High and South Bend native Mila Reynolds, who I just watched. She just played against South Carolina with Maryland. She can shoot it. She can dribble. She is entering the transfer portal. And most people think that she's headed to South Bend to join the Fighting Irish. So, you know, they get deeper, more depth. That's great news. Once again, South Bend native and Washington High School grad Mila Reynolds, who just went to the Elite Eight with Maryland, is entering the transfer portal, and it looks like she might be joining the Ivy and the Fighting Irish. That's great news for Coach Ivy and the women's basketball program.
Recruits, right? Coming up.
You have to do it via the portal and recruiting.
That's who did we lose? Who did we lose to again in the tournament?
They lost to Maryland.
Yeah, Maryland. Yeah,
they lost to Maryland, which I'm cool with because I would have not wanted to watch them against South Carolina.
We're a couple years away, for real.
It was just like it would not have been fair because Notre Dame struggled in the paint this year, and you take Olivia Miles away from that game. Basically, your best two players are injured. That, you know, it would have been a great experience for Centron and the rest of the squad, but. You know, Maryland was just too much. Maryland was too much. And Maryland deserved to move ahead and play South Carolina. So who was that? I'm sorry, John Monty. Oh, John, I'm sorry to hear that, man. And I speak that divine healing finds you wherever you are. And whatever issue it is, you know, we speak that it comes into correction. And your body operates as it was meant to operate. And we pray that for you right now, John. And we'll continue to pray that for you. You stay strong and you continue to believe and continue to listen to your doctors as well. Continue to listen to your doctors and choose to be happy, man. The best is yet to come for you, John. Absolutely. The best is yet to come. We had these questions we had to get to. These comments. Super chat from my guy, Truman Theodore Dumel. He says, Notre Dame football is on the cusp of greatness. Sean, as a recruiting guru, what will make us a program that can't be ignored and feared?
Winning solves all, I think.
Dude, we've said this, right? If Notre Dame wins, college football is in trouble.
Yeah, with Marcus Freeman.
But from a recruiting standpoint, I think we both agree, Lef, defensive line and quarterback.
That's it.
Defensive line and quarterback. That's
it. That's it. Give us a Nolan Smith.
Yeah. Defensive line and quarterback. Notre Dame takes that step in recruiting. Watch out. Frank McCatchy says Iowa versus South Carolina's must-see TV, flat-out heavyweight title fight. Totally agree.
I got a question of the day.
This is the type of game, in my opinion, that shines a spotlight that needs to be shined every year on women's college basketball. I mean, everybody's not like me, Lef. I'm sorry. I sit up late at night. I watched the Ole Miss Stanford game in the tournament when Ole Miss walked into Maples and sent Stanford home as a number one seed. You know, I watched Ole Miss lose the very next game. Like, I watch college basketball. You know, I watched the SEC women's tournament. I watched the Big Ten tournament when Iowa, you know, ended up pulling off the upset over Indiana. Like, I love basketball. I'll go watch some grammar school kids around the corner.
Like, okay.
I just love basketball. I just do. Coach Vic says, what do you think about, Anthony Knapp, offensive lineman, visiting Notre Dame this past weekend. He'll be making his decision later on today at 5 p.m. Eastern, I believe. And I believe that's going to be carried over an Irish breakdown. I'll be co-hosting or joining Brian Driscoll for that announcement. And I actually like him. And I know this is someone that, you know, a lot of people, and I said this before, you know, Notre Dame in the offensive line in 2024 can afford to be picky.
He's been good.
Can afford to be picky, Left. What I mean by that, they have so much depth in the offensive line that they can really pick and choose. They have Peter Jones. They can wait on Gerby Lambert. They have Caleb Brewer coming to campus this weekend. So they have big-time guys that they have to wait on a little bit longer that they can get. So they can afford to fall in love with a kid, you know, if they've seen him at camp or they like his film. He might not necessarily be ranked according to the stars and rankings where most people would like. Dude, the talent they have and the depth they have in that room, they can afford to go get a kid that they believe in, right? And if this kid is someone they believed in, the visit went great. And I think Notre Dame fans later on this evening, it's a great possibility that Notre Dame fans will be celebrating.
That's right.
Possibly adding to the 24 class. So yeah. I hope that helped you out, Coach Vic. Joe Medina, my only concern with Sam is that at Wake, he didn't consistently get the ball to the players in stride. One of the reasons he had a bad draft grade. If he fixes that, I think this team can be special. Talk about that, Left, because based upon what we've seen a bunch of throws down the sideline. We've seen back shoulder throws and deep passes completed from Sam Hartman. This goes to Joe Medina's point. How important is it going to be for Notre Dame to attack the middle of the field as well?
Yeah, well, I don't think it's going to change for Sam's evaluation a year to have a stronger arm. I think with better talent, he'll be able to have a chance to have better anticipation. You know, Tommy never had a strong arm, and his anticipation was his best gift, which, you know, got him a chance in camp. And Sam wasn't a bona fide number one pick anyway, so him to have an opportunity to look better in a system that's better suited for him, I think we'll see the balls going down the field at the right time, but for what he can handle, I don't think we're going to ask him to Patrick Mahomes' way down the field because we have a running game. So, you know, if he can throw it 40 yards down the field and lead him in stride, we're good with that because we couldn't do that before.
I agree with that. Lucky Lefty Podcast. Great show today, Left. So we spend it different, dude. We do shows in offices. Living rooms, cars, on the road. Look, let me tell you something. When I tell you we bring it different and we spend it different, that's what we do.
The last one, I'm trying to get on the plane next time. Be on the,
now, that'll be dope.
On the runway.
That'll be dope. Left, we have a tremendous and humongous announcement coming up tomorrow on the show.
That's right.
At the start of the show, you guys be here. It's big time news. For the show, big time news for the community of South Bend. And we're just appreciative to be part of it. Don't miss it at the start of tomorrow's show. We'll have a special guest. We'll make that announcement. And then we'll continue to give you the best there is in Notre Dame and college football conversation. Heck, women's college basketball, men's college basketball.
Heck, do it all.
We might have Stephen Bardo on tomorrow to preview the Final Four. That's how we do it. That's how we do it. We spend it different. You know what time it is, Left.
Petticoat. Petticoat Junction.
It's time to get petty.
Oh, we did a good job executing.
Are you upset with something?
And fire up the Petticoat Junction train.
I just don't like you.
You don't?
No.
What is today's pettiest story? Petty Junction.
Petty Junction, petty story the other day brought to you by Anora Whiskey at AnoraWhiskey.com. That premium American whiskey, AnoraWhiskey.com. Left. I don't know if you saw this, man. The internet is undefeated, bro.
Yes.
Did you see the troll that someone did on LeBron James, bro? I usually love picking on LeBron, but I saw this and I said to myself, this is one of the pettiest things I've ever saw. But the internet is undefeated as always, bro. It's undefeated. And I just had to show this. I said, Lef has to see this.
And the Oscar goes to LeBron James. This is the first Oscar.
Bro, let me tell you something. That right there, whoever did that, I don't know who put that together, but that was creative, wonderfully done. Hey, man, look. That cat, Bron, does a lot of acting on the court. He does a lot of acting on the court. So whoever put that together, man, kudos to you. You did a great job of editing and everything. It looked authentic. Like he was at the Oscars.
The internet has way too much time on their hands to tell you that, too. Look like a real Oscar award.
Doma Wap said, play it again. Oh, man. Let me see if I can share it one more time so everyone can see it that probably missed it or came in on the middle of it. I thought it was fantastic. Once again, someone trolling LeBron James for the many ways that he acts on the basketball court. Put together this entire feature of LeBron James winning the Oscar. And this is
our biggest flop.
Yo, the fact that Dylan Brooks is the other person in the clip with him is like bananas.
Best supporting
right?
actor.
Exactly. Best supporting actor.
For the one that most hated.
All right. Here we go.
And the Oscar goes to LeBron James. This is the first Oscar and sixth nomination for LeBron James.
Jay-Z giving him the award.
Right. Denzel clapping for him. Giannis is like, wow.
The Weeknd. Yeah.
He deserves all of it, though. You know,
ooh, LeBron, yeah, LeBron, yeah. That D-Wade reaction was the best, though. A true reaction of LeBron ever won an Oscar. Well, man, look, great show. Everyone, hope you have an incredible hump day. Enjoy the rest of this last season of Snowfall. This is the first episode without Unk. It's going to be tough to watch, but we'll find a way to soldier through. Have a great Wednesday. We'll see you guys tomorrow with a big announcement. And we'll hear from the linebackers at Notre Dame, one of the groups we think are about to become fast rising stars on this team. That's also, right. Wait a minute, we forgot. You were supposed to give the faces of Notre Dame football. Your Mount Rushmore for this season. Give me the four faces of Notre Dame football this year.
This season, we go in Audrey Guestime, Cam Hart, Josh Lugg. I mean, not Josh Lugg. Chauvault. And then we throw Marcus Freeman on there.
Okay. I'll go Sam Hartman, Jalen
Sneed. You can't throw Sam Hartman in there. He just got there.
Now you decide who I want to put on my mind when I should
I'll just play it.
I'm going to go Sam Hartman, Jalen Sneed, Benjamin Morrison, and I'm going to go Joe Alt. I'll go Joe Alt with you.
Joe Alt, yep.
Yeah. Those are my four faces. I know the ball under Mount Rushmore. Have a great day. We appreciate you guys. Don't forget, Apple Podcasts and Spotify drops at 3 o'clock every day. Lucky Lucky Podcast. Have a great day. But most of all, make sure that you spin it. Yeah.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.